An estimated 50,000 people have gathered here in Tampa to witness the nomination of Mitt Romney as the Republican Party's presidential candidate. Delegates and speakers, including Newt Gingrich, are busily preparing.
1, 2, 3, 4.
And here we are about to elect Mitt Romney the president of the United States, and I am pumped. I am excited and thrilled. And a little emotional.
It's going to feel historic. I mean, it's not often that Massachusetts has a Republican nominee. I think the last time was 88 years ago. And so I know it's going to be a special moment.
Sounds from the convention this morning. And tonight we're going to hear the traditional roll call of states nominating Mitt Romney, who arrives in Tampa today. By the way, Ron Paul delegates threatened to make those nominating waters a little rough tonight. We'll be watching that. There's also a question as to whether or not Mitt Romney himself will make a surprise appearance tonight after his wife, Ann, speaks. Aides say Ann Romney's speech will outline the tenets of Mitt's life, highlighting the values his parents gave him and who he is, a father and husband. Then New Jersey Governor Chris Christie will give what's expected to be a red meat keynote address. Both of those speeches will be carried on television tonight in the 10 o'clock Eastern hour. That's the only hour that broadcast stations are setting aside for the convention every night. Some high-profile people will take the podium before tonight. Tea Party favorite and former Romney rival Rick Santorum. Scott Walker, governor of Wisconsin, who's become a GOP favorite for fighting public unions in his home state. House Speaker John Boehner. Rising GOP star Mia Love, the black conservative Mormon female Republican, who's mayor of Saratoga Springs, Utah, whose parents immigrated from Haiti. So how will these speeches resonate? What do we compare them to? We want to spend some time looking at some of the memorable speeches from past Republican conventions. Here's Ronald Reagan when he accepted the GOP presidential nomination in Detroit in 1980.
More than anything else, I want my candidacy to unify our country, to renew the American spirit and sense of purpose.
Julian Zelitzer is a favorite here and our guest professor of history and public affairs at Princeton's Woodrow Wilson School. In a column on CNN.com, he wrote that today's conventions are choreographed like slick commercials. But what about the speeches? We asked Julian whether they really matter.
I think a convention speech still matters for many Americans. They have opinions about the nominee already, and not a lot of people are going to be watching, certainly compared to older periods. But still, this is the first speech many people are going to see Mitt Romney deliver. And if he does very poorly, it certainly won't help his campaign. And if he's very charged and gives a great speech, it could certainly energize Republicans and even convince some moderates.
Well, it's so funny you mention that, because some of us have been trying to hang on his every word for the last year. But you're right. A lot of people haven't heard him deliver a speech. And this is the age of television. So it's not just a speech, but it's a speech breaking through that glass.
And there's few opportunities to deliver something more than a soundbite. Here, there'll be a whole speech.
Okay, well, let's talk about ones that you've noted. First of all, we just heard from Ronald Reagan, 1980. He was running against the incumbent Democrat, Jimmy Carter, of course. What stands out for you?
Well, it was a difficult speech for Ronald Reagan because Republicans had a big coalition to put together. They had fiscal conservatives. They had Cold War hawks and Cold War warriors. They had social conservatives. And what was great about that speech, what made it effective, was that Reagan touched on all these constituencies and convinced them that he was, in fact, the candidate that could hold this coalition together. And that's a tricky thing to do, but it played an important role in his campaign.
You say he did it. In 1988, a Republican, George H.W. Bush, accepted the nod in New Orleans. You know, let's hear just a little bit of that first.
A brilliant diversity spread like stars, like a thousand points of light in a broad and peaceful sky.
Well, there's a phrase, you know, that we remember, thousand points of light. How important is it to have listeners come away with a phrase?
That speech was very effective, many people thought, for a candidate who was kind of lackluster as vice president. A lot of people didn't really know who he was, and they thought that he came away from that speech as a more energetic, more forceful candidate. Of course, he also promised not to raise taxes, which became a haunting remark for him when he had to do it and created all kinds of tensions with the right.
Well, but in the short term, he went on to defeat the Democrat, Michael Dukakis, the Massachusetts
yep.
governor. And was a one-term president. Some of your other highlights from Republican speeches past.
Well, another important one where the person actually lost was Barry Goldwater in 1964, the Republican from Arizona. And he talked about the need for the GOP to embrace conservative principles and move to the right and avoid moderation and centrism. And Goldwater went down in a huge defeat. And Lyndon Johnson just destroyed him in the election. And Democrats had huge margins in Congress. But the ideas he announced and articulated became the ideas for the party in the next three decades.
Let's hear probably the most famous passage from that speech. Let's listen.
I would remind you that extremism in the defense of liberty is no vice.
So there we hear Barry Goldwater. And just a week and a half or so before this convention, George Will, conservative columnist George Will, invoked that line when he was talking about Mitt Romney's choice of Paul Ryan. And he was saying that, you know, at the time when Goldwater said that, he was vilified. But in fact, some extremism, and he goes on to define extremism in a good way, you know, like some of the founding fathers were extremists. And he says, you know, we need a little bit of that. We need an injection of that. And he was applauding Paul Ryan's nomination. But it just was a reminder that, I mean, here Barry Goldwater is being invoked in an August 16th column by George Will.
I think in both parties sometimes there's a thirst for genuine ideas and genuine principle. Goldwater's speech for Republicans serves that purpose, and some connect it to Paul Ryan, saying that he's that kind of politician, that he believes in something rather than just believing in re-election.
Well, and what about secondary speeches at the conventions? We're thinking of Pat Buchanan in 1992. The race then again was George H.W. Bush versus Bill Clinton. This was the Republican convention and Buchanan's speech in Houston.
Buchanan gave this very fiery speech in favor of everything the right wanted. For many Democrats and moderates, he represented why Republicans couldn't be the majority party and why someone like Bill Clinton ultimately was a better choice, because he could represent the center in a way that Buchanan, after that speech, could never do.
And what about this year? You have Chris Christie giving the keynote here. He can be vicious, and which is what some of his supporters like about him. But will he rein it in? What do you think?
Chris Christie's a little different than Patrick Buchanan in that his message in some ways is that of a moderate Republican. He's not interested in social issues. So Romney will be watching that speech, hoping that he does stick to his script. At the same time, they still want him to sound like Chris Christie, like the tough New Jersey governor who calls it as it is.
Yeah. Well, and finally, Mitt Romney. You know, he's been said to be, I don't know, the aw shucks, H-E double hockey sticks. Kind of, you know, he just doesn't seem to want to go above a certain temperature. What do you expect?
Mitt Romney has the Al Gore problem. He doesn't show his personality in front of the television screen. He's very stiff. And what all Republicans certainly want is to show a little of who Mitt Romney is. It's not about the policies. It's not going to be just about tax cuts. Whether he can rise to that challenge, it's unclear. He showed a little of it when he announced that Paul Ryan would be his running mate, and he's going to have to convey some of it during this speech.
Julian Zelitzer, professor of history and public affairs at Princeton's Woodrow Wilson School. Thanks so much.
Thanks for having me.
And we'll link you to some of those speeches at hereandnow.org. Meanwhile, more news from here in Tampa. Only two protesters have been arrested, a big contrast from the RNC 4 years ago when hundreds were arrested in St. Paul. A Tampa police chief, Jane Castor, said that protests have been handled peacefully.
There were several individuals that came up and tried to bait the officers into action and were taunting them, and the officers showed a great deal of patience and restraint and professionalism and did not respond to those taunts.
My favorite line in the Tampa Bay paper today, the Tampa Bay Times, describes somebody dressed in black running, storming something, and a woman holding a poodle cheering, go, go, go. Don't quite know what happened, but the rain has really muffled the protesting. But we'll keep an eye on all of this from Tampa. Hope you join us as well. And don't forget to go to hereandnow.org to read online. Here and Now is a production of WBUR Boston in association with the BBC World Service and PRI. I'm Robin Young. Join us again here and now.